Hey guys, Madeline here. Today we have a rebroadcasted episode from 1 year ago during our last holiday season. These episodes were incredibly popular, so whether this is your first time listening to it or your third time listening to it, enjoy. That weighing, like, how sad am I not to go to the party? How horrible would it be to go to the hospital? I just can't handle going to the hospital, or my child, it's not fair to them to go to the hospital. Like, we're just staying home to eliminate that risk. Hey, you're listening to The Rare Life. I'm your host, Madeline Cheney. Today we have the second part of our three-part series all about the holiday season and things that come up for us as parents of disabled kiddos. Each episode with the lovely Amanda Griffith Atkins, one of my favorite repeat guests. Today's conversation is all about deciding whether we should isolate at home from holiday events and gatherings in order to keep our medically complex children safe from illness and germs, or to go ahead and go to the event. We also chat about the ways that we can have that conversation with family if we do decide to sit that event out, and ways to make it special at home with your nuclear family. As with the other two parts of this holiday series, we polled you on our Instagram stories to gain insights on the topic. A huge thank you to everyone who weighed in on it. It was so insightful and helpful in making this episode as helpful as possible. And if you want to contribute to future episodes, be sure to follow us on Instagram. I'm at the_rare_life, and Amanda is at amanda.griffith.atkins. There are also links in the show notes if you'd rather just go click that and follow us there. And another reason you should follow us, this week we are teaming up with my good friend and biggest hype girl, Brittany, who joined me in the last couple finale episodes, to give away 10 $100 gift cards to help you with your holiday shopping. So head over there for instructions on how to enter. As many of you know, Amanda is a licensed therapist and owns a private practice based in Chicago. She has three boys, one of which has a rare syndrome. Her insights are always wonderful, and I'm so happy to include her in these episodes. All right, let's dive in. Hi, Amanda. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, how are you?
So good. I'm so excited to talk about this important topic of staying home in order to keep our kids safe from germs during holiday events and during the holiday season, because I feel like so many of us are barricading at home and missing out, and I want to talk about it. Like, let's talk about this.
And I don't know about you, but RSV and the flu and COVID are terrible in Chicago right now. And so I'm so excited to unpack this topic because I think so many people will benefit from it.
Yeah, totally. Because it's like flu season is always sucky, but this one's a doozy. And so, you know, I know that the anxiety is really high. In fact, yesterday I did a reel where it was like talking, basically like going crazy because of health anxiety. And so many people are like, oh my gosh, I am just dying right now. And so I'm like, okay, let's get this episode out there and talk. Because this is very related to the health anxiety thing.
Yes.
You know, specifically during the holidays, because that just makes it that much higher stakes when you're missing out. And the decisions we're making feel really big of, you know, making the call. Do we go to grandma's house or do we stay home?
Yeah, it feels like every decision is a like cost benefit analysis. Is it worth it? What risk are we taking? Who's coming with us? Who's going to be there? There's so many factors that go into this.
Yes. Yep. So let's talk about how we distinguish between kind of just like this anxiety that's not super needed and anxiety that's based in like a real threat or something that we should act on, because I think that's really hard. Like, I'm just talking with a few parents on my Instagram account just recently, we were talking about, like, you know, having gut feelings regarding our children's safety and then, like, you know, maybe bringing them into the hospital and then like, wow, if I hadn't acted on that, they would have died, you know? And so kind of like, I need to trust myself. But then along with that, I think comes with this heightened anxiety and kind of overreaction that we have, because all of a sudden we're like, well, that gut feeling was right. I need to make sure I act on every gut feeling. And I think sometimes we go into overdrive, maybe all the time we go into overdrive, and, you know, we're bringing them into the ER when we don't super need to, you know, sometimes. And so I think talking about how we kind of distinguish between those two things, like, is this a real threat that I should stay home, or is this something that I'm just, you know, all my nerves are amped up and I don't really need to be this fearful? Like, how do we even figure out what's real?
I think that's so hard because so many of us have actually, like you said, had medical emergencies that either have been a life or death situation or certainly have been like a really serious medical event. And so many of us have struggled with that decision of, do I take them in? When do I take them in? How severe is this? And, you know, especially when we're around a bunch of people too, that anxiety gets higher because it feels like there's more risk involved in it. But I think something that's important is understanding how to use logic in these situations. And I know how hard that is. I'm a very emotionally minded person, not so logical at times, but we do have to be able to access a little bit of our logical brain and not make every decision off of an emotion. So I'm not quite sure how you do that in those moments, but trying to like assess your emotions and say, okay, I'm feeling really anxious right now. Let me step back and assess the situation in a logical frame of mind and not just let my anxiety take over, I think is important to do.
Yeah. And one thing, I mean, you're the therapist, but here, I'll share something that I've done with my therapist. And so I'm sure you know this. I can't remember. It's like family systems. I can't remember what it's called, but the idea is like, you know, where you have like these different parts of you.
It's called internal family systems, IFS.
Internal family systems. There you go. I know you're gonna be like laughing at me.
I love it that you're explaining it to it.
Here I go. I'll take a shot at this.
We'll be very proud. Yeah,
I love my therapist. Where like we have like these different aspects of us, right? And so like I was talking to her about this certain thing that actually wasn't really related to this at all, but I was feeling very fearful. I was like, sometimes I feel so confident about it, like this big family decision. And other times I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is it. We're going to be in this horrible situation and it's not going to work. And who am I to think I can do it? And so she explained that like, that's your fearful side. And then you have like this other like really confident side and they're both have a place in you. Like I often am like, oh, that stupid fearful side of me. I hate the fearful Maddie. Like I don't like her. I don't want to be afraid all the time. I want to be the confident Maddie. I want to go and do the thing and be super excited about it. And she was like, you can't vilify the fearful part, right? Like that's there for a reason, but you need to have them in balance. And so like they are working together. And also with curiosity, she like get curious about the fearful side. Like, hey, what are you so afraid of? And kind of like talking to it. So that was really helpful in that. And I feel like that could apply to this really well, where if we feel that huge fear kind of like taking over, to kind of question that side and be like, okay, so what are you afraid of? Like, okay, well, what would happen if they did get the sickness that you're afraid of? Is that a valid thing? Should we stay away from that? How confident should we be? How fearful should we be? And kind of like getting curious with it. But there's Maddie's version of this like therapy technique that you are obviously very
aware of. You did such a good job explaining that. Your therapist will be proud of you. And
thank you.
If any of the listeners want to learn more about it, it's called IFS, like you said, Internal Family Systems. And there's actually a really great new book on it called No Bad Parts. And it's by Richard Schwartz, who is the founder of IFS. And, you know, the title summarizes exactly what you're saying, no bad parts. There's no bad parts of us. And like you were saying, that anxious, fearful part of you serves a purpose. And so I love what your therapist said about getting curious. A way that I approach that is I'll say, okay, I'm noticing that like my anxious part is really flared up right now. What does she need? What does she need right now to feel soothed a little bit? And I imagine if I was going to, you know, a big family gathering, what does that part of me need right now? I need to know that nobody at the party has a fever. I need to know that nobody's sick in my family. And I need to know how long we're going to be there. I need to know that it's going to be 3 hours and then we're going to go come home. That's what I need to feel soothed in that moment. That's what that anxious part of me needs. And so I think it helps to ask yourself, okay, what does this anxious part of me need right now in order to feel soothed? And to bring it back to the topic today, when we're talking about holidays, should I stay or should I go? I think that's a really kind of helpful question that you can ask yourself. What do I need right now to feel less anxious about this? That gives you a good baseline of, is it even attainable that we could go? Because if it's like, I need to know that everyone there has tested negative for COVID, all 30 of the people have tested negative, like you might not be able to achieve that. So be honest with yourself about what you need and also check, is that realistic too? Does that make sense?
Totally. And I think like the really self-compassionate part of that is kind of like, what do I need to feel less anxious about this? And if I cannot achieve it, I will not go. Like, I don't need to drag myself through hell of like envisioning my child getting the virus, whatever. I mean, any of the, right, all the virus, all the things. And then we'll be in the hospital. And then, you know, maybe they'll digress in their therapies and their milestones we've been working on, or much worse, like, right? Like, will they die? And so I just love how it's like, okay, like, what would it need to be like for me to be less anxious? Can I do it? Great. Then let's go. Let's do the thing. And let's ask the people to do whatever we need them to, you know, verify if they're healthy or whatever it be. Or, you know what? Yeah, I can't ask them all to test for COVID. And so we're just going to stay home.
I love that. And I think also it encourages us to connect to our support system. Like, okay, I want to make sure that everybody that's coming to the party, that nobody's sick. So I'm going to send an email out to my family and just say, hey, maybe I'm being a little overreactive, but just want to check in, make sure everybody's feeling okay. If not, please stay home or something. You know, like we can turn it into some sort of actionable thing that can actually reduce our anxiety.
Yeah, totally. It's just so hard because we want to think that like our family members and our friends are going to respond super honestly. And I think there are a few times when they like straight up are lying, right? When they're going to like try to dupe you. But I do think this is really tricky when it's like, okay, so like it's a very subjective thing, right? Oh, I'm not like actually really that sick. Like I'm coughing at night, but like it's barely a runny nose. Like I don't know that that counts. I really need to tell her. And especially people who haven't been through medical stuff like we have, like where they're like, oh, it's just a mild cold. Like I don't need to say anything. But to us, it could be a really big deal. And I have an example of this from one of the parents that submitted her thoughts. So here's a juicy one. She said, we went to one Thanksgiving the year after Maeve, her daughter, was born. Thanksgiving was tough already because the year before she coded and almost died the day of. We asked all of our family to tell us if they had any cold or flu-like symptoms so we could stay home and keep her safe. We got there and my cousin had, quote unquote, a mild cold. Fast forward 24 hours and we were in the ER with Maeve on oxygen because she got sick. Yeah. Never did another holiday because of this. I mean, silver lining, I no longer feel compelled to buy gifts for the extended family because we can't go do holidays. So, hey, there's a cost savings for you. So, I mean,
yes.
Isn't that just horrible? I mean, that's everyone's like worst nightmare, right? Is that like the cousin will show up with a mild cold and then our child gets it and has to go to the ER. Like,
so scary.
I mean, it is. And so I think in that way, it's hard because I think if you're, what do I need to feel safe about this or less anxious? If it is, I need to know 100% that everyone is well and that they're telling me the truth.
That's right.
It might be a we stay home, right? Because we can't control random cousins, unfortunately, right. Doing that. Hopefully not everyone has a cousin like this, but I mean, it's just tricky.
That's right. A huge part of that is, do I fully trust everyone to know the severity of the situation? Do I fully trust that everyone will understand that I'm not overreacting, that if Maeve gets sick, she could end up in the emergency room, which is exactly what happened. And so if there's people that you don't fully trust, you have to sort of like reassess that question because it might not be realistic that they'll understand that a sniffle is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so beyond people's reality, right? Because I mean, Kimball was that way when he was a baby. So when he was smaller, if he got a cold, he often was in the ER and inpatient in the hospital to help him breathe. And it's just so, I remember just being like, this is so bizarre. Like, we are so afraid of a freaking cold, you know? So I think it is. It's just so hard for people to understand. And they're just like, wow, she's being so anal. And honestly, like, as we're talking, the more I'm thinking about this, I'm like, this season specifically of like 2022, I don't know what the chances are that there will be someone like out of the 30 people at a party, that there won't be a couple 100%. People that are very sick that are coming like with a runny nose. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like
everyone
I know right now is sick. Everyone. So I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, not to like have like a really grim outlook, but maybe a lot of us will be staying home and we can all solidarity together and be like, we're all sitting this out. But
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Like, it just feels like sickness is everywhere right now.
And I mean, and ideally, like, the people who are sick are the ones that stay home. Like, I feel like that makes sense. But I mean, you also can see it from their perspective of them being like, well, I don't want to miss out on the holiday party, you know? And so it's, sometimes it can feel bad, like, asking them not to go. So, I mean.
Yeah. It's tricky. It's definitely tricky because nobody wants to stay home. That's the thing.
So I think, like, one of, like, the really hard things about this, too, is, like, all the guesswork. Because as I was, like, really pondering this, I was like, you know what? If you had – because even if, like, Aunt Hilda comes to the party and she has a runny nose and, like, we don't know that our child will get it. Like, we don't know that our family will catch that. And so there always is that chance of, like, you'll go, oh, shoot, she's sick. Like, she didn't say she was. And we're all fine, you know, and, and it's a happy ending. I think it's just so hard because we don't have a crystal ball and we don't have the certainty. Like, if we knew for sure – if I go to this party, we will come home sick or, you know, we'll be so sick that my child will have to go to the hospital. We wouldn't even hesitate. We'd be like, of course I'm not going. Or if we had a crystal ball of like, I know for sure we will go and we will not get sick. Then it wouldn't be anxiety inducing at all if we could trust that crystal ball, right?
Exactly.
To put away like our past trauma. But like, I think that's what makes it so hard is it's all guesswork. Like we're all guessing, will everyone tell the truth and be really honest about their health? We're just guessing, would my child catch what they have if they did come sick?
Right.
And so again, like when it goes back to like, you're missing the big holiday party or whatever it is that you really want to go to, that makes it really hard to make these sacrifices when you feel like, I mean, there's like a chance they'll get sick, but we don't know they'd get sick if they went, you know, and I think that just makes it that much harder.
So hard. And I think it kind of just reinforces our lack of control as parents. And at the end of the day, I think that anxious part of all of us, all we really want is control. Like I was thinking, what would I say if I ask myself, okay, what does that anxious part of me need to be able to go to the party? Well, in reality, it needs to know that nobody's going to get sick, but
yeah,
that's not really possible. So I have to go to the next best thing. So, so much of it is just acknowledging that it is out of our control, which is really scary.
Yeah. But I do think there's power in acknowledging that and just being like, okay, yes, I can't control this. So what can I control and how can I let go of the stuff that I can't control? And one thing, like what this one mom said, and I feel so bad, she said it felt sad and frustrating to miss out on the event they missed out on and ultimately pointless. She got sick anyway.
Ugh.
Doesn't that kill you? Yes. And because I'm like, yeah, that could totally happen. Maybe they'll catch it from somewhere else. And then you're like, well, great.
That's right.
Like, we missed out on this party and they still got sick.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no guarantees.
So like several parents said something along these lines, but this one parent said, her health is more important than some gathering or activity. It feels crappy, but so does being sick and having to go to the hospital. So that was kind of like this. I think that there were several parents who were kind of like, yeah, well, we just miss it. And things could be so much worse. Like kind of like that weighing, like how sad am I not to go to the party? How horrible would it be to go to the hospital? I just can't handle going to the hospital or my child. It's not fair to them to go to the hospital. Like we're just staying home to eliminate that risk.
And I like that thought, even though it's a little extreme. I like it because that's what they needed to do to not let their anxiety take the driver's seat. So that's fine. That's fine. But I mean, to get back to your initial question, which was like, how do we make sure it's such a fine line of like, should I push myself to go or should I not? And I think in those parents, it just sounds like the risk is too much. I'm sure that they have people in their life that are like, oh, you guys are so cautious and you don't need to be like that. And maybe that's true, but the decision that they've made for their family is that we're going to stay home and we're going to completely eliminate the risk of getting sick from this party or whatever. So it's just so complicated because you can't please everyone. And at the end of the day, you have to do what you think is best for your kid. So I commend them for that because I imagine that some of them got some slack from the family maybe.
Yeah. And I think like I feel in that comment, like I feel a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, this is easy, easy. Like we know exactly what we're going to do. And I think that probably feels really good either way, right? Oh, easy. We're going to the party or easy. We're staying home. Like I think that is going to feel the best when you're not just like, did we make the wrong choice? And I do think it's important too for us to like give that permission to like if you feel good about going to the party, go to the party. Like, it doesn't make you a bad parent if they get sick. Crap, you know? Yeah. Like, and it doesn't, it's not some failing you did. Like, obviously you would not have wanted them to get right. sick. And you know, we're, at the end of the day, we're just doing our best. We're all crap shooting and trying to figure out what to do. And so, yeah, any answer is, you know, just as long as it feels right in your gut and you're trying to be logical as best you can, like, you gotta do what you gotta do. So,
and I also think, as we're having this discussion, I'm thinking about the parallel that every family has had to have about COVID in the past 2 years. This conversation that we're having, which used to be only had within disability parents, or if you had a family member with cancer, a sick family member or something, I feel like now everybody has to have this conversation because they're constantly having to weigh out, maybe not as much now as in like 2020, but there was a point in time where everybody had to say, should we go? Should we go to the movies? Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is it worth it? You know, so it's good to see this conversation being normalized a little bit more, that we're having to kind of weigh the risk of, do we go to this thing and risk being exposed to whatever, you know, because that's what we all sort of mm-hmm. have to live with all the time.
Yeah. And there was like definitely, like I heard a lot of parents saying, like, especially at the beginning of like 2020, like, welcome to my life. This is how we were all the time. Like the entire flu season, yes. we were like quarantining yes. at home. So I think in some ways it is kind of like we feel a little snarky of like, oh, yeah, welcome.
That's so true. So true.
But and hopefully it'll allow people to have more compassion and understanding, yep. you know, because of 2020. Okay, so let's say like we did make a decision. Let's just like hypothetically, let's say that we decide to stay home, that we're going to sit out the party or the event or whatever it is, and we're going to stay home to appease our anxiety / keep our child safe. That can be really tricky when we're talking to the parents or the siblings or whoever we were going to go have that party with. And letting them know that we're not coming, right? Because I think there's a lot of tension there. So how do we broach that topic?
I think it's important to acknowledge that your decision might not make everybody happy. It's okay if some people get a little bit hurt or irritated by the decision that you made. The best thing that you can do is explain why you made this decision and say that you wish you could come. And you're not responsible for their reaction at the end of the day. I know that sounds a little harsh, but it's difficult to tiptoe and say, what's the right way to say it? When should I say it? Should I call? Should I email? Should I do it in person? Blah, blah, blah. What should I do? But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not our job to make other people feel comfortable with it. So I guess maybe the question is, how do we do it sensitively?
Yeah, because I agree with you. I think, like, it's not our job to like make them happy or keep them happy. And at the same time, I think a lot of us want to, you know, like that's the tricky thing about people we love is that we're like, yeah, I know it's not my job, but like it is valid also for people to be sensitive to mm-hmm. like feeling judged. Even and then I think like keeping your words in mind when and if we do feel judged is going to be really helpful. It'd be like, I cannot control them. At the end of the day, I am responsible for my family and for me and keeping us safe and helping my mental health not spiral out of control. And so that's why we're staying home. And so keeping your why, I think, at the forefront can help with that and like feeling judged. Because that's one thing I like definitely heard from a lot of parents was like, we feel judged. So judged by our family and just lack of understanding.
That's interesting, judge. I like what you said, keeping your why at the forefront of your mind. I think that would definitely help. And I think in addition to feeling judged, I'm thinking if I had to call my mom and say, okay, we're not coming for Christmas. There's just too much stuff going around. She would feel sad. Like, I don't think that she would judge me, but she would feel disappointed and maybe feel like guilty. Like, oh, do you think that we're sick? You think we wouldn't tell you if we were sick? Like, do you think that it's too germy around here? Like, you know what I mean? I think she would sort of take it personally. And so I think that would be hard because that has nothing to do with it, basically. So I bet there's two camps, people that feel judged and then people that feel like they're hurting someone's feelings or something, maybe.
Yeah, totally. Because I think like we maybe like have different flavors of families. Yeah. Maybe we have kind of like the more gentle, like you're talking about for your mom, like where like, oh no, like they almost feel judged,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
And then, or they're judging us, yeah. but they're maybe a little more of an aggressive family. One parent said, it's largely difficult because of family being disappointed and not understanding the weight of the decision. Yeah. And so then that one, I feel like that's also like feeling, you know, it's pretty isolating. And that's actually a word people used over and over and over, is how isolating it is to make these decisions. And then, you know, when you decide to stay home, obviously you're left out. And you're made very aware that other people don't have to be as careful as you and don't have the same trauma that is also informing your decision. So I loved how she phrased that, not understanding the weight of the decision. Like, I did not make this decision lightly.
Yeah, like you were saying about the example with the little girl named Maeve. I mean, how serious, right? Like, that's so intense to know that she could, or Kimball, that he, you know, could get a cold and end up in the hospital. Like, that's the reality for so many of our kids. And not everybody understands that, like you were saying earlier. So how do we express the severity of it without over-dramatizing it too? Yeah, I don't know. I think all we can do is do our best and remind ourselves that, like, it's not my job to convince somebody else of the reality of the situation. Either they get it or they don't in some ways.
And I think, like, honestly, like, at least personally, I feel like it feels really good to say something. And honestly, like, through text or email or whatever, I like the written thing where I can just like say it and it's clear and I'm not going to be on the other end of like them being like, wait, what, really? And I don't have to like sit there and explain it, right? So if you just write out a text of like, we're really sad and bummed, we're going to miss out on the holiday party. Even if you're not as, I mean, I know some people are like, we're not that sad to miss out. But, you know, maybe you say you're sad. That might help. And then, you know, as you know, like, in this example, Kimball is like so medically fragile, like, and right now it's an extra bad flu season. We just can't take that risk, but we'll miss you guys and hope you have a lot of fun. I don't know. I'm kind of like, how could someone get mad at that?
I love that. I love that. You know what I mean? Like,
because it's vulnerable, but it's also like straightforward. Just really honest, I think, is probably the best policy. But
I love that. And maybe you say something like, you know, let's for sure get together in the spring when maybe the flu's a little bit less at that point, or everybody has a chance to get vaccinated, whatever. Like, you know, maybe you add a little bit of hope to the end of it. But I love what you said. It's so kind and honest and vulnerable.
Yeah. And I think that, like, yeah, again, like, I don't think they'll get mad at that. I mean, I guess there are those types of families. I'm lucky. Sounds like you're lucky to not have super dramatic families. But, and I feel for families like that. And that reminds me of this other parent who said, it's incredibly hard when family mocks and belittles you for your needed caution. It alienated us even further from our previously close family.
So hard. And I think, I mean, we don't have to get into this, but obviously, like, it just kind of environment right now, the political environment, is everything so hostile. Like, I can see how if you take that firm stance and your family believes a different way in multiple ways, this can very quickly escalate and become about more than just the Christmas gathering, you know? So I think that's so loaded and so hard. And the sad thing about it is it just isolates the families even more. Like, that feels so unsafe. So to me, that kind of said, I know it's not this black and white and this easy, but it's like when somebody responds to you in such a hurtful way, like, that just makes you never want to see them again. So it's really a shame on the family's part that they're just isolating their family even more. So sad.
Yeah. And one thing I was thinking with this parent in particular, and anyone who has like had similar things, and honestly, everyone, is to really lean into like the online community of like kind of like, you know, us, you know, and each other, like really leaning into the community that really gets it. Because I think that's really a great way to combat that isolation of being like, wow, my family just doesn't get it. But I know like there are a ton of other parents out there that are also staying home from this kind of thing. And, you know, they would jump on my side really quickly. And like, I don't know, kind of that rallying. Because I'm kind of like, oh, girl, come message
me. Totally, yes.
If someone says that to you, like, we'll rant with this together because, like, we get it, you know?
Knowing who your people are, too. If you're not getting that support and that kind of understanding from your family, you know, you can take that loss and then make sure that you follow up with somebody who does get it, where you can feel supported, where you can feel uplifted and encouraged. And, yeah, actually even encouraged for making the hard decision to stay home with your family. Not only is it not a bad thing that you decide to do that, but it actually shows how protective you are of your child and that you're willing to sacrifice this to take care of them. It's not selfish at all, actually.
Totally. Which kind of like leads us into our next section of like, how do we make the most of it, right? Because I think even for those of us who make the decisions fairly easy of like, oh no, hands down, we are staying. Like there's no way we would go, right? Even on that side of it, ranging to the, oh, we grappled with this for so long and finally last minute decided not to go. Like, so anywhere in there, I think there's always going to be some amount of sadness and feeling left out. And so I do think it's great to discuss ideas of how we make a great holiday, even if we are the odd ones out and we're not at the place we hoped we would be or would like to be.
I love this part of the discussion because it feels so hopeful and fun and gives you the chance to set new traditions as a family. Last Christmas, it was Christmas 2021, our entire family got RSV, started with my youngest and then trickled through all of us. And it wasn't anything, thankfully, like very serious, but we all were really sick. And it was, I think, Christmas Day. And we were like, okay, we have to like get out of the house. We have to go do something. And it was warm-ish in Chicago, like maybe in the 40s or something like that. And so we decided to go to a park and bring our dogs. So it's outside. And we went for a walk in the park. Granted, my youngest son threw up in the woods, but who cares? We were able to battle through that. But memorable. At least it felt like we were able to get out of the house and go do something as a family. And that was it. That was all we did that day. But it sort of, for me, felt like, okay, we didn't just sit in the house all day. We were able to go out and do something. And if we weren't sick, you know, like hopefully most people that are choosing to stay home, they may not be sick themselves. They might be more concerned about getting sick. You know, maybe you plan like a fancy meal that you order in, or you find like the one restaurant in town that's open and you go, you know, eat out or something like that. Like there's little ways that you can find to make the day. So you light candles on the table. Like what can you do to make the day feel special for you?
Yeah. And I really like this too, because it just feels so unifying, like with your family. Like I think it can feel like, oh, you know, we're not able to be with the big extended family, but like it's us, right? Like we've got each other and we're doing this together. And I love the vision of you guys going to the park together and like, oh, we're all miserable and sick.
We tried.
We're doing it. Like, we're going to go do something fun. Yeah. And like the candles and just, I don't know. I think it is a great opportunity to kind of break off from your extended family and create your own, like your nuclear traditions and, you know, maybe do something fun. And if it's not like the actual holiday, right? Like if it's like the night of the holiday party that you were going to go to, maybe doing something really fun that night to kind of keep your mind off it and be like, no, I mean, we can have fun on our own. And guess what? My anxiety is great right now. You can just bask in that lack of anxious feelings.
I vividly remember watching Thor last Christmas with my kids. And it's a funny memory because I'm not into Marvel movies, but I have three boys. So there's lots of Marvel in our home. And so we all laid in our bed and watched Thor. And it's actually a really sweet memory as I think back on it. So that's kind of cool to reflect like, oh yeah, it wasn't all bad. That was fun. That was funny. Like that was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. I really like that. I have a really cheesy idea to bring up too. I actually really love this idea, but it does come across kind of cheesy. It's from The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, which I love that freaking book. So I'll put a link in the show notes for people who want to read it. But in there, she talks about like the value of hard, like difficult things. And this can relate to like our lives in general too. But if we're, you know, relating it to we're home and we're missing out, she was talking about the value of the darkness. When you, I guess she was like sitting on her couch or something and like she was looking at twinkle lights like on her tree. So this is also like holiday themed. And the lights were off and she was like, I can see and enjoy like these lights look so beautiful because all the lights are out and I can really see them. And so I love to think of like also just these moments that we're creating at home, like as we're missing out on things or things are, we had an episode will come out next week about being inpatient in the hospital. So it also reminds me of that. But like when things are like hard or you're sad about something, I think those moments of sitting and watching Thor or going to the park or whatever it is you're doing, like they can really feel that much more meaningful because they're surrounded by something that's like not as great or, I don't know, I guess would be symbolizing like the darkness.
Yes, definitely. Like looking for the little glimmers of hope. And they're there. They really are there. Whether it's, you know, watching a movie on TV, going out somewhere, staying in and playing a board game, like those moments are there for sure.
Totally. So I have like a few ideas that people gave for more like specific ideas. A few people were saying that they like to do video calls with their family, you know, so maybe if it's on the holiday or maybe during the party, I don't know. But doing a video call to still be able to chat with them and maybe show presents or whatever you would do if you were together. Some other families also have done a yard or window visit. So like they would come and they sang like carols to them on the grass and they got to listen to the carols, or they'd come up to the window and, you know, chat through the window. I think it's like, oh, that's kind of sad. But it's also like, that's great. Like, you're making the most of it. Like, you can still be together if you want to make that effort. But
yeah, little things like that, that we can still connect to people. Or, you know, maybe you meet outside somewhere. Or, you know, there's lots of ways that you can do it where you're not feeling isolated, still connected. And I think, again, we learned that through COVID, that we can connect to people without being within a foot of each other. We can still connect to people. And it's important that you don't forget that if you're feeling isolated at home. Connection looks a lot of different ways, especially now with everything can be virtual. I mean, you're in Utah.
Yeah.
And I'm in Chicago. Like, that's insane that we're doing a podcast together. Like, how, you know, and it,
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if that doesn't, we've become friends like throughout this podcast. Like, if that doesn't say at all, you know, you can connect to people virtually. And don't underestimate the power of that if you're stuck at home and you're not able to go travel to be with family or friends.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. And I think you're right that like society as a whole has kind of learned how to connect, you know, more virtually or like at a distance and keeping safe with like germs and stuff. So I think that is really great. So I think like, you know, sometimes like when we're trying to like find the good in it or like make our own traditions or like, you know, have fun at home, I think like it is important to acknowledge that like it can still feel sad. Like we can still like make it a magical experience, but still feel kind of like, this kind of sucks. So this one parent said it felt like a sucker punch when they had to stay home. I had to force myself to focus on the positive instead of what was missed. She said to make home more fun and make it exactly how you want it to be when you do choose to stay home. So I do really like that, kind of embracing the fact like you have a lot more control over things. And then, but also like it was a sucker punch. Like I had to just force myself to be positive. And I think sometimes that's part of it.
So hard. Yeah, so hard.
Yeah. I have a recording to play from Emily when she kind of talks about this.
My name's Emily O'Brien. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we have missed many holiday gatherings due to my son's premature birth and diagnoses that kind of followed that. Missing out on holiday gatherings felt awful and impossible and hard. Leading up to it, it felt like I was breaking family members' hearts each time I had to relay the message that we couldn't be there. It also broke my husband and I's heart because many of our holiday memories and the things that we had hoped to do with our own son were tied up in spending time with others. It was just a really challenging time for us. In order to work around it, we did everything we could to make it special and to create new routines for our own family. A lot of times this involved trying to find new ways to cook special meals that would be different than what would be offered at other family gatherings. We also worked to try to find time to really, as much as possible, enjoy that experience and that time with just our immediate family. It wasn't easy. I wouldn't recommend it or wish it on anyone. But at the same time, I knew in my heart that it was the right call for my child and for our family. And so it was the right decision for us. For families in that position this year, I hope you know that you're not alone and that so many others are not only in the same boat as you, but also remembering back to those years where they had to stay isolated and are keeping you close in their hearts and in their minds this holiday season.
Don't you just love that?
Yes, it's so kind and uniting and honest.
Yes. So I guess like there's two parts of that, right? Like her practical advice, I guess we can address first, where I really like the idea of like making different dishes that you wouldn't have been able to have at the family gathering and kind of rewriting those traditions, which I think is really great. But I just love the ending where she talks about like, you know, you're not alone, you know, and we can have that at the back of our minds or in our hearts as we're staying home and trying to stay safe, to be like, oh yeah, me and all the other people in this community, like we're all doing this type of thing, or we're at the party, we're feeling anxious, but like we're all kind of in this boat of like trying to make that hard call.
I feel like we both preach that a lot on our social medias and of course in your podcast, that there is something really comforting and uniting knowing that there's other people that just get it. Like, it's such a simple concept, right? But so often I think as disability parents, we do feel like we're on the outside a little bit because our experiences are different in a lot of ways. Not to get stuck in the comparison game, but it's just so helpful to know that we're not alone in this, that there's other people out there struggling with these same decisions. There's other families out there that have to make that difficult decision of, do I go to the party? Do I stay? Do I go visit family? Do I not? It's very easy, I think, kind of to spiral into this thought that we're the only people that have to deal with this and our lives are so hard. And, you know, but it actually takes us out of that to be like, no, there's other people dealing with this. And yes, it's hard, but it's okay. I'm not the only one and I can connect to other people. And that's just so comforting to remind ourselves that we're not alone. It's such a simple concept, but for me, it's been very helpful.
Yes, totally. I mean, it's such a game changer, really. I mean, it can really shift everything when you don't feel like you can feel really isolated and then know that, like, oh, tons of other people feel really isolated right now, too. And yes, we're together in our isolation. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think that that is so powerful. And then I just wanted to end and wrap up with kind of her last thought, too, of like just that they knew what they decided to do was the right thing for their family. And so that made everything okay. And I think that that is something. I know we mentioned that in the beginning, but like really keeping that at the forefront of our hearts too, of like, you know what? We made this decision. We're going to stand by it and we're going to make the most of it. And I think that can be very grounding too, and make it easier to stay present and to make it the most of it and, you know, just roll with it.
Yes, because the truth is, as disability parents, we have to make hard decisions daily. This is not something that's foreign to us, right? And so we can take comfort in the fact that we make hard decisions all the time. And as parents, we do know what's best for our kids at the end of the day. And there is a lot of uncertainty in it. But if you're erring on the side of caution, then do what you have to do. It's okay. Because, you know, you have to take care of your kid first and foremost. So I think if that's what you end up doing, be confident in it. It's okay. And then you just figure out, okay, what's the next step? Which honestly, I feel like that's what we do.
Yes. Yeah, that carries over for sure.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I really hope that our conversation was helpful. I really enjoyed chatting about the different facets of this. And yeah, like, I just really hope that listeners know that they are not alone in this whole decision, whether we decide to go or stay or whatever it be, like, you are not alone.
Yes. And if you decide to stay, you should send us a message and let us know, what did you do to make it special and how did it feel? Because I'm sure somebody out there listening will have to stay home this holiday season. So let us know how it went.
Yes, yes, I would love that too. Thank you so much. Don't forget to connect with us on Instagram at amanda.griffith.atkins and at the_rare_life. Also, check out the show notes for a link to the previous holiday episode if you haven't caught that one yet, as well as episode 81, where Amanda and I tackled the topic of health anxiety. There's also a link to the fabulous book mentioned in the episode, The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. Join us next week as Amanda and I dissect the topic of being inpatient in the hospital during holidays and other special days. It is unfortunately very relevant to so many of us, and it's such a good listen. Don't miss it. See you then.